It's very interesting to ask here. Would Philip all on his own have formed the idea of making war on the Persians? Was this something suggested to him, for example, by Isocrates in particular, but maybe by other Greeks as well? It's just hard to say. But he clearly had begun making preparations for a war against Persia. 336, he was killed in a palace intrigue. The Macedonian court was often a tumultuous and difficult place, and unfortunately we don't have quite rich enough and detailed enough sources to say exactly what was going on. Anyway, there was a palace intrigue. Philip was killed. It took a short period of time before his son Alexander was able to win out among several potential claimants for the Macedonian throne. Alexander was 20. He immediately had to sort of patch up relations with a number of his father's most important associates and supporters, and with a number of the most important military commanders in the Macedonian army. But once he had managed to sort of patch up these relations, he decided on what would become, as we know, with the luxury of hindsight, his life's work, to go and make war on the Persians. Alexander is a quite remarkable and quite mysterious figure. He was a very tall man, a very handsome man, apparently. He was athletic, he was intelligent, he was charismatic. But he was also ruthless and immeasurably ambitious. Few people, I think, have ever been more ambitious than Alexander. He was ideologically clever. For a young man, he was pretty smart. He depicted his war against Persia as a crusade to even the score for this long-ago Persian attack on the Greeks. He makes himself the great defender of the Greeks, the great defender of Greek liberty, the great avenger of Greek humiliation. Well, gee, you know, the Greeks hadn't been humiliated. They won that war. You know, and the Greeks had in some ways brought that war on themselves by implicating themselves in the Ionian Revolt. But just as, for his purposes, Isocrates had managed the history of the Persian War, so now Alexander, for his own purposes, manages the history of the Persian War. Now, this is a wonderful object lesson and a point that I've made many times. There's a history that happens and a history that's remembered. Here we're watching two people battling over the same history and each using fictitious versions of it. Quite interesting, that. He was using all of this as a cover for sheer imperialism. Alexander set out to conquer the world. Yes, we have that legendary account of how at one point he sat upon a stone and wept for lack of worlds to conquer. That's probably not true, but it's interesting that someone would tell that story about Alexander. He used the campaigns as a very clever way to distract and to reward the great Macedonian nobles who had been responsible for all these palace intrigues, who might at any point turn against him. Still, having said that, and having appreciated that Alexander was pretty savvy politically, pretty savvy ideologically, for a young person who, after all, had not had a lot of experience of the world, we shouldn't minimize the extent of his military achievement. Alexander was a great military leader, whatever else we may say about him. With an army of about 35,000 men at the height, it's as large as it ever got, he conquered the Persian Empire. He marched into the Persian Empire and one after another won a series of great battles, systematically dismantled the Persian military apparatus, and brought it all into his own hands. And he then marched beyond the Persian Empire. He marched into Central Asia. He marched into northern India. His tactics were brilliant. Alexander is still studied today for his military tactics. How do you learn that? As a young boy, he sets out to conquer the Persian Empire at the age of 18. His earliest great victories come in the next 2 or 3 years. He's 20, 21, 22 years old. And he's up against the greatest military establishment in the then world. And he beats them. He led his own troops. He sometimes acted recklessly, some might say. But he had a remarkable capacity to elicit loyalty, to make men follow him, to make men do what seemed somehow impossible. And as if all of that weren't impressive enough, Alexander organized astonishing supply lines. One of the things he recognized was he was moving further and further and further and further away from the Greek world, from supplies, from everything he needed to accomplish his great military objective.